Amen. Praise the Lord. I am grateful for the Bible, aren't you? Yes. It is a light. It is a guide. It's my instruction book. Yes. And it's a love letter, isn't it?
That's right.
It's told me how much God loves me. And it's told me how to live in this present world. And listen, you can have all the money that's not in Fort Knox anymore. But I'll take my Bible. Praise the Lord for that. Church, let me just say this before we get into God's Word this evening. Please don't take for granted what you have here. It's not everywhere. And I wish I could take that choir, Brother Gravely, and just take it out to New Mexico. And just to take that special singing and just introduce that kind of worship to some of our folks and some people out west. And please don't ever take for granted what you have here. I know you get to enjoy it every week, but there's a whole lot of Christians that don't get what you have here. Let's get our Bibles this evening, and let's turn to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, a familiar text of Scripture. And as you're turning, let me just echo what Pastor Gravely has said. Thank you for all the hands that have fixed that meal tonight. Yes. And the pretzel thing, listen, whoever engineered that idea, you're a genius, all right? That was good. And I saw Brother Saunders grab one, and so that gave me an open gate to follow him and get one of those things. And so I've enjoyed it so much. And thank you for being so kind. Every once in a while, I get to come back east and just get refreshed and rejuvenated. And already, just by one service yesterday, God has just refreshed my soul, and I appreciate that so much. John chapter number 4, I want us to look here at, of course, the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman here. And if you compare this, and by way of introduction, let me just say this. If you look at John chapter 3 and John chapter 4, you really can't find a more completely different soul-winning effort by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, than Nicodemus in John 3 and the woman at the well in John 4. Yeah. And of course, Nicodemus was a male. The woman at the well was a female. Yes. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and of course, Jesus came to the woman at day. And then, of course, Nicodemus was a Jewish scholar, and the woman at the well was kind of mixed up on her religious background. And then, of course, if you look at Nicodemus, the conclusion of that conversation is really an unclear point at the end of it. We don't know what he went to do after that, but boy, that woman at the well didn't leave any question, did she? And I like it when folks get gloriously saved like that. Now, I don't need tears, you know, when people get saved, but I sure like them. And the man in Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he started the conversation with, "We know. We know that you're a man, a rabbi sent from God." But of course, the woman at the well in chapter 4, she said, "How is it?" And so he knew everything and she didn't know anything. And I'll be honest with you, that crowd that thinks they know everything, that's the hardest bunch to reach. And so I like it when the Nicodemuses come to us. But let me tell you, that ain't always the case. And so there's a lot of time that we have to go to where they are.
Yes, sir.
And that's the commission, isn't it? Not to wait for them to come in the door, but to go into all the world.
Yes.
And so here in John chapter number 4, and I won't read all of these verses for sake of time, but I want us to look here at, of course, this woman at the well and Jesus, who, of course, departed again into Galilee. And notice verse number 4 here. The Bible says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." Now, you know this. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And so this was a little unusual, but it got even more unusual because Jesus went and talked to this Samaritan woman and asked her for a drink of water.
Right.
A Jew of that day would have never done that.
Right.
And so notice here, the Bible says in verse number 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. We're looking here at noon. Now, you're talking about a hot part of the day to come get water.
Yeah.
But notice this, the Bible says, there cometh a woman, a Samaria, to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now I want to submit for your consideration this evening that this well was a divine appointment. And the reason I say that is because Jesus, we know this, already knew this woman was coming.
That's right.
And Jesus was waiting at that well.
Yep.
Now look at the difference here. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, but Jesus traveled to go visit this woman at the well.
That's right.
And so wells in the Bible, I believe, has significance and importance. And I believe that this well in John 4 pictures a divine appointment.
Yep.
Now, I like divine appointments. I like being able to get a glimpse of God just putting things together. And you get to see just a glimpse of what God's doing. But I love divine appointments.
Yep.
And listen, sometimes God will bring people your way for you to witness to them.
That's right.
John 3, Nicodemus. Listen, I had a Nicodemus come to me earlier this year. His name's Poncho. Poncho's sister goes to our church out in New Mexico. She's a little Hispanic lady. She was saved out of Catholicism. Loves the Lord. And she wants her family to get saved. Her mama's Catholic. Her brother, of course, just reeked in drugs and alcohol. And she had got to praying for her brother. And so one day her brother was just sick of the drugs and the alcohol. And he was just down and depressed. And she said, well, you need to go talk to my preacher. So she brought him over to the church. I was in my office, and I wouldn't always recommend doing it this way, but she drove him over to our church and dropped him off at the front of the church, and then she left. He had no choice but to come in and talk to me. Now, I like it when the Lord brings them to you.
Yeah.
And so I got a chance to talk to Poncho and witness to Poncho. And about an hour later, Poncho bowed his head and trusted the Lord for salvation. And he's still going to church faithfully today. And his daughter's gotten in church and she's gotten saved. And I've had the privilege to baptize both of them on the same day. Isn't that wonderful? I like it when it happens like that. But it doesn't always happen like that. And so notice here, wells in the Bible. We have an account of a well here in John 4, but that's not the only well we see. In Genesis 24, you'll find where Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, was sent to go get a wife for his son Isaac, for Abraham's son. And of course, he encountered Rebekah at the well of Nahor. I believe it's a divine appointment. And then, of course, in Genesis 29, you remember Jacob. Jacob had just had that transforming day in his life there at Bethel. And then he traveled another probably 20 to 30 days coming into, of course, Haran. And as he's coming into Haran, he sees a well. He goes to that well, and in just a few minutes, Brother Saunders, he meets Rachel, who's going to be his future wife. I believe that was a divine appointment. In fact, I believe it was love at first sight.
Yes.
And we could talk about Moses and Exodus, but notice here, we find where there's times I believe God gives us divine appointments. I like them. But we don't just automatically get divine appointments. I wish every day was a divine moment that I get to lead somebody to Christ. But I want to take and help us tonight to realize that to get the those divine appointments and win somebody to the Lord, sometimes there's traveling days involved.
That's right. That's right.
And Jesus, I want you to see this. Jesus took and traveled 2 to 3 days just to get 1 hour with this woman at the well. And I want us to realize, and listen, I'm grateful that BSALT, we've been able to travel 28 states with our BSALT ministry and help churches across the country. And right now, we're just a little over 600,000 homes that we've helped take the gospel to. But can I tell you this? There's a lot of traveling days involved in getting the gospel to people.
Yes, sir. Right.
There's troubling days involved. There's tasking days involved.
There's
days of preparation and days of perspiration and days of patience involved in that moment that we get to lead somebody to Christ. Listen, I know that you're getting ready to take and make a commitment through faith promise giving. But I want to focus tonight for a little while on faith promise going. We need to be goers and not just givers. And so with the help of the Lord, and if I had an hour and a half, I'd give you 8 to 10 reasons why we have to invest our time into these divine appointments. And so notice here, number one, the Bible tells us in verse number 3 that he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. I want you to realize, number one, that when it comes to winning people to Christ, it takes time. It takes time. Jesus had traveling days here. Jesus traveled these days to get to that well. Now, we know Jesus already knew what was going to happen. But he was willing to travel 2 to 3 days to get 1 hour with this woman at the well.
Yes.
Now that's a whole different situation from what we see in John 3 where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And I'm sure glad that Jesus took all the time Nicodemus needed to have that conversation. One of the greatest verses in the Bible came out of the conversation with Nicodemus in John 3. But let's not discount what God did in John 4.
That's right.
Let's realize that this journey on foot would have taken a few days just to get this little bit of time to witness about himself to the woman at the well.
Amen.
Jesus here, notice, I want us to realize this. Jesus was willing to invest time. I think sometimes we could win more people to the Lord, church, if we would be willing to invest more time in people's lives. When Jacob had his vision there at Bethel, and you remember Jacob, of course, Brother Barnes, his pillows were rocks. It was a tough place. In fact, I think that was Jacob's lowest place. He couldn't go back. He didn't know what lied ahead. And he was there in that low place in his life, that rocky place in his life. And what was his troubling place became his transforming place. And sometimes what happens like that. Sometimes we witness to people at the lowest points in their life. Poncho, I told you about Poncho. Poncho was at a place where this was just consuming his life. He was so depressed, so down, that he was even willing to talk to the preacher. Praise God. And so his sister was just, she was at a place where she didn't know what to do. So she just dropped him off and left because she didn't want him changing his mind. But low places have a tendency to help us to get to the right places. And we see that, of course, in Jacob's life. And I want us to understand, church, number one, sometimes it takes time to get to those divine places of winning somebody to the Lord. Number two, I got to hurry. Secondly, look at the terrain encountered here. Look at the terrain. And in verse number 6, the Bible says that Jacob's well was there, and he was wearied from his journey. And if you look at the terrain that Jesus would have encountered, his journey from Sychar into Samaria, he would have had to go through what was called the hill country. A very rough terrain, an area where there was steep ascents and there was winding paths and rocky, narrow walkways. But he was willing to cover the terrain to take the gospel to this Samaritan woman. And I wonder sometimes what deters us from winning more people to Christ is we're not willing to cross the terrain. I mentioned yesterday about how comfortable we get sometimes. We're so comfortable that we're willing to pay an insurance company to minimize our risk. We're so comfortable, and let me just say this. Listen, nothing amazing happens in comfort zones. And so we've got to get out of these things. And sometimes there's some terrain we have to encounter if you're going to win somebody to the Lord. Listen, we need some faith promise goers, just not just faith promise givers. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we took our faith promise cards? And listen, I've been a part of faith promise giving for 30 years. And I don't give because I have to. I give because I love to. And I'm in a new, unique position, Brother Barnes. I get to be a not only a giver to Faith Promise Missions, but I get to be a receiver of Faith Promise Missions. And I'll be honest with you, it makes me appreciate it so much more. I wouldn't give you a nickel for somebody that's willing to receive Faith Promise, but not willing to give to Faith Promise. I believe we ought to do that, and I believe it's important that we do that. And there's some terrain we've got to cover if we're going to win somebody to the Lord. And it can be challenging. It can be crossing obstacles, and it can be some cluttered situations in people's lives. What do you tell somebody that's doping up every week and you tell them they need Christ? What's that mean to them? You got to go deeper than that. And so winning some to the Lord is going to be harder than winning others to the Lord.
That's right.
They're not all going to be Nicodemuses.
That's right.
And so realize this. Number one, if you're going to take and be a faith promise goer, you got to be willing to invest some time.
Yes.
You got to be willing to cross some terrain. Number three, I want us to see this. We see this with Jesus, verse number 6. We got to be willing to have some tiredness that we have to encumber.
Yes.
There's times I get tired.
Yes, sir.
There's times that I mean, here Jesus got tired.
Amen.
And what do you do when you get tired? I promise you this, you're not going to make it for 14, 15 years in New Mexico in the desert if you don't take time to get refreshed.
Amen.
Now notice this, Jesus sat at the well. Jesus here, of course, the Bible says, sat thus on the well. Why? Because he was wearied. Can I make a statement? Listen to what I'm saying. Sometimes divine appointments is some God-given rest and refreshment. Sometimes it's God saying, hey, I need you to be refreshed. I need you to be 100%, not to run on empty. And we do that sometimes. And so when we get wearied, let's be honest, that is a crack in the armor that the devil can use to stop us in our tracks. So Jesus here took the time and he sat by the well. And I believe if Jesus takes time to get refreshed, and we need to take time to get refreshed, sometimes we need to come apart before we come apart. And we see that here. And so Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, if we stop there, it really doesn't tell us why. But here's what the Bible says. For in due season, we shall reap. Do you see the promise there?
Right.
We shall reap if we faint not. I wonder how many times we've fainted just steps away from the divine appointment.
Amen.
How many times have we been so close to winning somebody to the Lord, to sharing the gospel with somebody, but we stopped just feet away because we got tired of trying? Now, let me tell you, church, listen, when it comes to family, aren't they the hardest bunch sometimes to win? They don't want to listen to you. Your family, they know you when you was growing up. They know how wicked you were when you were younger. And so they don't want to listen, maybe. But listen, you can't give up on them either. And it's some tough terrain, and it's time involved, and there may be some tiredness that you're going to encumber. But listen, we have to continue on to be faith promise goers.
Yes, sir.
Number four, listen, I'm trying to hurry. Notice the territory that Jesus encountered. It was not normal to go through Samaria. What normal? The Bible says, notice this, verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Do you see the commitment there?
Yeah.
Do you see the dedication there? And listen, we're living in a day today where you've got certain people that won't talk to other certain people. I remember years ago, I had a couple of preachers that came out and helped me knock doors when we were starting our first church in New Mexico. And boy, let me tell you, I broke them in real good. We started out knocking doors, and they said, well, Brother Sykes, how many doors do you want to knock? And I said, well, my personal goal is I want to knock 100 doors a day. Their eyes got as big as saucers. Okay, Brother Sykes, I guess they took it as a challenge. We went out, we started knocking doors, and listen, we were in some rough area. We had dogs that looked like bodybuilders. I mean, they had car chains holding these dogs down. I mean, thank God for chains. Thank God for fences. I remember putting a brochure one time, Pastor Gravely, in a fence, and the dog on the other side, I guess, wanted the gospel so bad, he bit it in half. I took my half, and he kept his half, and we were okay with that. Listen, you're going to encounter some territory that's not going to be comfortable for you. You're going to take and have to realize this, that when it comes to going through Samaria, it may not be your normal crowd you're witnessing to. And I'll be honest with you, church, it's not easy to witness to people that are from a whole different background than I am. I'm just preaching here, but listen, I remember knocking on some houses one time. This was in New Mexico. I knocked on that door. I didn't have anybody with me. The other guy was across the street. And I knocked on this house, and about 12 men came out and stood on that porch staring at me. I realized real quick that this was a gang called the Banditos. They are a wicked bunch. So I thought in my mind, Lord, swing wide the gate. I'm coming home. But you know what I did? I told them who I was, and I said, if you'll give me just a moment, I'd like to share something with you. I started talking about the gospel. I mean, I was shaking like a leaf, but I wasn't going to let them know it.
Yeah.
About half of them walked back in the door, didn't say a word. The other half was listening. I continued to witness, and when I was through giving them the gospel, all but two walked back in the door. One of them stared at me, looked at me for a minute, and then he walked back in the house. The other one, he came down the steps, he shook my hand, and he said, Preacher, thank you for doing that. And he went back in the house. I left there, I looked for my partner, he was gone. One of our new rules with Be Salt is don't ever leave your partner. And that was for him that day. And so please understand, number one, if you're going to be a faith promise goer, you've got to be willing to invest time in people.
Yep.
Number two, you're going to have to be willing to cover some rough terrain. You're going to have to be willing to take and go through the valleys and across the mountains to reach some people spiritually. There's going to be some tiredness involved, but God will give you those divine appointments to get refreshed. And take those. Listen, you're not any less spiritual by getting refreshed and getting some rest when it comes to ministering to people. And then, of course, the territory involved here. And so please understand that these are things that's a part of witnessing and being a goer with the gospel. Number five, I want us to see this. I'm hurrying. Please understand that when it comes to going to the well, that divine appointment place, we see Jesus had a thirst and a hunger. Amen. He was thirsty. Now, I know he was thirsty physically, but can I say this spiritually? You got to have a thirst and a hunger to win somebody to the Lord. Amen. It's easy not to do it. It's easy to just not put ourselves out there. And look at verse number 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, I know that's physical thirst, but look in verse number 32. Jesus said to his disciples, but he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. This was after she got saved. Verse number 34, but Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
That's right.
Listen, you're going to have a hunger and a thirst to win somebody to the Lord. And so I want to ask you a question right here. Do you really want to win somebody to Christ?
Amen.
Now, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, Brother Sykes, I want to win somebody to Christ, but let's examine. What have you done in the last 30 days that proves you really do want to win somebody to Christ?
That's right. Yeah.
I'm just preaching, okay? Don't get mad at me, but listen, we need some faith promise goers. We need some folks that would be willing to have a hunger and a thirst and really do want to win people to Christ, and you're willing to make sacrifices to do it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Jesus did.
Yes.
He didn't just wait for the Nicodemuses. That's only a few of the people. There's a whole crowd of people out there that will never come to Bible Baptist Church. We have to go get them.
Yes. Yes, sir.
We have to go tell them.
Yes,
we have to go show them. What are they looking for, preacher? Here's what they're really looking for. And I say this from experience in New Mexico. They don't care what you know.
That's right.
They just want to know if you really care.
Yes.
Do you care? Mm. And you can't just say it. It has to be demonstrated.
Yes.
Listen, the Bible tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
God commended, he demonstrated that he loves us.
Amen.
There's no doubt in my mind because he's demonstrated his love. But what are we doing to demonstrate to a lost crowd out there that we do care?
That's right.
We've got to realize that we got to have a thirst and a hunger.
Yes.
Now that's five. I can't give you all of these other five, so I'm just going to name them real quick. Number six, there's got to be some trust involved. If you're going to win somebody to Christ, you're going to have to trust the Lord that he's working in their heart while you're talking to them physically.
Amen.
You're working toward them from the outside, and the Lord's working on them from the inside.
Amen.
And you may feel like, well, preacher, I didn't get 2 feet with them. They wouldn't even listen to me. But you may have gave them the gospel.
Amen.
And you may leave there thinking you're a failure. But listen, the Lord's not done with them.
That's right.
They may sit down and start reading that track, and God's still working. God's still convicting. You're not a failure. You did exactly what God wanted you to do, and keep doing it.
Amen.
I remember a church, the pastor wanted me to come in. We did an operation. I think it was a 5,000 with them. And the pastor, he said, Brother Sykes, he said, this is a person in our church that's our new outreach director, and he wants to learn how to soul win. Would you take him out with you? I said, yes, Pastor, I'll be glad to. So we went out the first day, had a great time. He's asking a ton of questions about soul winning. We had a wonderful time. The second day, it got a little rocky along the way. Preacher, what happened? We went to somebody's door, and they claimed to be an alien from another planet. I kid you not. An alien from another planet. There are liberals out there like that. Preacher, what did you do? I looked over at my soul winning partner and I thought he was going to quit just as soon as we got done. We left there, we got back in the car, and he said, Brother Sykes, I'm sure glad you talked to him because I don't know what I would have said. We left there and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to fix this. Pastor Gravely, but I went to the next door. It was the last one on that street. After that one, we were done. And we got to lead a daddy to Christ right next door. Boy, I'm so glad God did that. God was already there working before we got there. And he got to see that. And listen, when we left, listen, my heart was refreshed. I'd forgotten all about the alien. And I looked over at him and he was weeping. And he said, Brother Sykes, that's the first time I got to see somebody trust the Lord for salvation on their doorstep. Does it happen? It happens sometimes. It's rare. I'll be honest with you. We see less than 0.5%. Very, very few. But isn't it worth it for the few? It's worth the time. It's worth the terrain. It's worth the territory, even if there's an alien on the street somewhere. It's worth the thirst and the hunger. But somewhere along the way, you're going to have to trust that God's in it. Amen. And listen, there's truth involved. Amen. Listen, I remember years ago when I was learning to be a soul winner, and we would go out, and listen, we'd talk about the cars in the driveway. We'd talk about the weather. We'd talk about football. We'd talk about basketball. And then we sometimes wouldn't even get around to talking about Jesus. Listen, you have to share the truth of Christ if you're going to win them to the Lord. Otherwise, it's just any other conversation. You have to give them the transforming truth of the gospel because that's where the power is. It's not in your persuasion. It's not your likability. It's in the gospel. And then lastly, let me say this. We find here that there is a testimony that came from this divine appointment. Yes. Preacher, what happened? Well, the woman at the well, she left her water pot and she went back to town and told all the men of the city, come see a man. Come see Jesus. And she brought a crowd out to him. Now, I like it when that happens. But then we also see where Jesus in verse 34 through 38 uses this as an opportunity to witness and instruct his disciples. Yes. Notice what he says here. He says in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. And I can just imagine in my mind about that moment, the crowd comes back with this woman. And they are seeing what this woman has went and told. I don't know about you, but I wonder which of those disciples had brought a crowd at this point. And so the Bible tells us in verse number 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. Don't we want to rejoice? And let's have some faith promise goers. In verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You know what we have a great opportunity to do? We can have a partnership in reaching the lost in New Mexico and the prisons of the folks here that go to the Rock of Ages prison ministry and the other missionaries that the church supports here. You're a partner.
That's right.
You get to partake in that.
Yep.
Now, you may not be there physically, but I promise you this, you're as much a part of that ministry as they are.
That's right. Amen.
And we need to understand that. And so we need faith promise giving.
Yes.
But boy, we need some faith promise going.
That's right.
Amen. Lastly, did I say lastly? Lastly, number two. Look at verse number 40 and 41, and I'm done. The Bible says here, so when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his words. So, you know, sometimes they're not going to get saved, Brother Saunders, right away.
That's right.
We have to be willing to tarry a little while.
Yes, sir.
We have to be willing to come back. We have to be willing, maybe the dad or the mom gets saved. And let's tarry a little longer. Maybe you can win somebody else in that family.
That's right.
You see, Poncho's story didn't end there. His daughter got saved.
Yep.
And now they both come to church. They sit next to each other right over here on this side. And they love coming to church together.
Yep.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
Are you a faith promise goer? As much as you're a faith promise giver. Pastor, you come.